Knowledge Award here on Sirius XM 132, Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Our final 30 of the day, and then we will be back with you tomorrow. No, excuse me, we won't be back tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. Sometimes the weeks run together, folks. The days of the week, too. We'll be back with you on Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on Sirius XM 132 as part of our show on Monday. We'll continue our 2019 A Look Ahead series as we're going to spend some time looking at some of the issues that have been prevalent in the last year in Brazil and other Latin American countries. We'll see what is ahead for those countries and see whether or not we can see some economic growth in that part of the world. We'll also take a look at the issues surrounding taxes. Of course, 2018 was a year where we saw the tax cuts enacted by the Trump administration. What impact will there be in 2019 from those tax cuts? There's been talk of a tax cuts 2.0. We'll see what happens where that is concerned, but we'll talk about all of that on Monday's edition of Knowledge at Wharton, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, here on Sirius XM 132. Dozens of aviation industry groups sent a letter to President Trump and congressional leaders yesterday urging an end to the partial government shutdown and stressing the harm that it is doing to their industry. The TSA and Customs and Border Protection agents, transportation security officers, and air traffic controllers have been forced to work without pay. New planes have been sidelined, as are approvals of new air routes. There have been reports of TSA workers calling out sick. Unions say air traffic controllers are on the verge of retirement, and they could do so earlier than anticipated without trained replacements, as all training has been suspended. And the issues will only be mounting as the shutdown continues. So lots to discuss. Joining us on the phones to talk about that, Roger W. Clark, who is a founding member and managing partner of the Clark Law Group. He's also a visiting professor at Rutgers University Law School, where he teaches aviation law. Also with us, Dr. Clinton Oster, who is a professor emeritus at Indiana University School of Public and Environmental Affairs, and also Jeffrey Price, professor in the Department of Aviation and Aerospace Science at Metropolitan State University, located in Denver, Colorado. Roger, Clint, Jeff, thank you all for your time today. Greatly appreciate it.
Good morning. Absolutely.
Our pleasure.
So, Roger, what are we looking at right now? I mean, we obviously have, in terms of the management of the airports with the TSA and the air traffic controllers, how much impact are we seeing from the shutdown?
Well, there's a lot that's visible and maybe even more that's not visible, Dan, because we realize that there's these essential employees of the government, such as the air traffic controllers and the TSA people, and from their individual perspective, what that means is that they have to continue to work, but they don't get paid. And that creates all sorts of morale issues, of course. But looking directly at issues of TSA, there's an increased number of people calling in sick, reported lines of or increasing length of lines at TSA checkpoints, people missing flights because of those extra delays. That obviously is a frustrating problem for so many people. But then with the air traffic controllers, we have people who are working. We already have a air traffic control situation. The number of controllers is at a low ebb, possibly the lowest in decades, and having to handle in sequence about 30,000, you know, flights a day. And so these people are working without pay. They are now lacking the new people coming in the pipeline because the training facility for the air traffic controllers in Oklahoma City has been shuttered because of the shutdown.
Right.
The new recruits, the people just on the job, the trainees have been furloughed because they're deemed non-essential. So they're on a bare-bones operational staff. The pipeline has been shut down. You know, we have both acute and chronic issues because we have the acute issue of flights needing to fly today. Passengers need to get on these airplanes and need to be safely transported. But it's a critical situation in terms of it being acute, but it's also going to be chronic because these problems will only get worse as the time goes on. And there's also a lot of issues dealing with aviation safety checks, which we can probably talk about later, that may very well have an even longer fuse on safety issues.
Clinton, are you hearing basically the same thing?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. There's, I think, maybe one other issue that comes to mind with air traffic control, which is this shutdown has the potential to speed up retirements from those people who are eligible to retire but are still working. There's something just less than about 20% of our current controllers are eligible for retirement. And these circumstances are have the potential to do that. You know, you also have the concern about, as he said, we've got a shortage of controllers. Some of them are working extra days already prior to this. That adds to the stress. And we're seeing that the added stress has the potential to affect job performance, particularly for air traffic control. It's hard to concentrate when you've got the added stress from the financial concerns and the like. And yet the ability to concentrate is critical for ATC workers. You know, the nature of air traffic control, the job of a controller is, you know, there's long periods of time when things go very smoothly, punctuated by periods when all of a sudden a controller's full attention is required immediately to take care of a situation. And the difficulty is recognizing right away when those situations occur. If you've got some added stress on the controllers, that's certainly not going to make it any easier.
So, Jeff, how much impact is there on the airports themselves and the management and the running of the airports when you have these factors kind of adding to the normal issues that go on day to day?
That's really one of the understated impacts that the public is probably not seeing quite yet, as TSA has short-term plans to throw additional screeners at airports that are experiencing larger than average wait times and delays. But what's going on behind the scenes at airports and air carriers is they're watching very closely to make sure that the lines aren't getting bigger and bigger. They're coming on board to help where they can, to help with line queue management. But what the real problem that lands in their lap is the public area security. And that's an area that's always been the responsibility of the airport operator, is to provide local police protection, local police response, police patrols. Department of Homeland Security has deployed a few Federal Protection Service officers to a few airports to help with public area security, but it's the direct regulatory responsibility of the airport operator. So what their focus is how big are these crowds getting that need to get through the checkpoint, and how much of a vulnerability does that present for those individuals, because the public area is literally the hardest thing to protect.
Roger, the old line that I think a lot of people who have flown over the last few years was, make sure you get to the airport 2 hours in advance to get through. Now, I guess you're starting to hear airlines telling their passengers, sending them out information, you may want to even be there longer, you know, 3 hours or maybe even longer before your flight, just to make sure that you get through the TSA checkpoint.
Well, Dan, that's great advice, and actually that's advice I gave my own son yesterday, who's going to Logan in Boston to fly to San Francisco today. I told him to be sure and double-check and look for warnings. Do you need to get there earlier because of delays? The last thing he would want to do, just like any passenger, is to miss their flight as you're sitting in a very long, delayed TSA line. So it's a very, you know, real problem. And you know, one of the more chronic problems is this issue of safety inspections. There's about 3,000 aviation safety inspectors at the FAA who are deemed non-essential, and they've been furloughed. And these safety inspectors are, you know, responsible for providing oversight to maintenance programs that the airlines themselves conduct. And, you know, it's an important extra layer of safety. Because anybody who you know, has been involved in investigating aviation accidents and incidents will tell you that it's the little things that, if not caught, can snowball into you know, a major disaster. And so, not having that extra layer of safety with these aviation inspectors in place, although may not be a problem today, could result in some installation of a part that has been installed incorrectly, or maybe the part itself hasn't been properly certificated, that in a year or 2 years or 3 years from now could lead to a major issue.
Clinton, one of the things you mentioned a second ago I wanted to come back and touch on, because it appears, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that the pipeline of potential new controllers, air traffic controllers, seems to be relatively thin. Is that correct?
It is, and part of the problem really dates back a number of years. When we had the PATCO strike years ago, what ended up happening was over the first few years after that, a large number of new controllers came in. Well, those guys and gals are now of retirement age. And so we had this big bump come in, and that was fine. But when this big bump gets to retirement age, then all of a sudden you've got a big need for new controllers, and it's hard to get that pipeline filled. So it is a thin pipeline. One of the things that was supposed to help that is something called NextGen, which is basically updating the air traffic control equipment. And one can quibble over whether NextGen was structured in a sensible way. But this is going to delay NextGen even more than it already was. And that delaying updating the ATC equipment just will put added pressure on the need for employees. And if I could jump off of Warner Rogers' comments, we're also seeing delays now in investigating airplane crashes. Now, we're not talking about the big, air transport category, but lots of corporate and general aviation crashes. The FAA people that come do those investigations, they're not there. So in addition to the safety inspection part, we may not be able to learn quite as much from the crashes that we have as we normally would be able to.
Was there a backlog in that area specifically even before we got the government shutdown going?
No, I don't think there was a backlog. The people that do that are usually pretty good at getting to the scene pretty quickly. The big crashes, it's mostly a National Transportation Safety Board issue. But the smaller crashes, the general aviation crashes, for example, the corporate jet crashes, some will get NTSB investigators if they think there's some really important issues. Others rely on FAA people. And you still learn a lot from those accidents. And the things you learn from those accidents are the things that can help avoid future accidents.
Jeff, it sounds like from the commentary here, and switching to the FAA specifically for a second, that the FAA is basically in the same boat as every other agency, having had to furlough a whole bunch of people. And some of them obviously are, have a certain level of importance to the day-to-day running and maintenance of aircraft around the United States.
Absolutely, and I always have to chuckle a little bit when I hear the term non-essential personnel, because I have to think, well, if they're non-essential, then why are they there in the first place? I would think that pretty much everybody is essential if it contributes to the safety and security of the system. But the FAA is exactly in the same position as many other government agencies. If having to make a decision, it kind of goes back to the old Animal Farm analogy. Okay, which one of you is more essential than others? Those of you that don't make the cut, well, we'll see you in a few weeks, hopefully. And that's the challenge, too, just like with air traffic control. Screening itself requires a high level of concentration. Air traffic control requires an incredibly high level of concentration. And when you're worried about what's going on back home and whether you're going to be able to pay the mortgage and which credit card you're going to need to pay off whichever other credit card that month until your paycheck shows up, just a few seconds of having your attention pulled away can be long enough that when you come back to the screen, whether that's at a checkpoint or a radar scope, and now you realize that there's a problem, those few seconds delay before you realize, oh my gosh, something has now just occurred, I have to deal with this, could literally be the difference between life and death. And this will continue on, even if this shutdown ends today. We're going to see a trickle effect go on for months and in some cases possibly years to come.
Clint, what can the airlines do in this process, maybe to help out, I guess, in some way or fashion? Or are they kind of stuck here because of the fact that these people, the inspectors more specifically, are doing a specific job?
I'm not sure there's a lot the airlines can do in the short term. I mean, if they had known in advance that there were going to be this kind of situation, you could make some scheduling changes and put a little bit bigger cushion in some of your flights in terms of on-time performance to be able to make connections and the like. But the problem is those schedules are done well in advance. And short-term, there's just not a lot that they can do other than try to be just maybe a little bit looser in when they close the door for the people getting on the plane. And I think some of the carriers are doing that a little bit, but there really isn't a lot that they can do in the short term to make much difference.
Roger, your thoughts?
One thing I'd like to say is that sometimes these political disputes have unintended or at least unanticipated consequences. We probably all remember it's not that long ago all the battles over whether or not the ATC should be privatized, or whether those operational
right.
functions should be taken from the FAA and put into a private nonprofit corporation. And the Air Traffic Controller Union, NATCA, actually supported that effort. And one of the reasons why they supported that effort is because it would ensure, stable funding. It would take the funding outside of the government and put it in a area where there are user fees, and it's a separate revenue stream that goes outside of the congressional appropriations issues that come up from time to time. And most of the major airlines were in support of privatizing ATC. Delta originally was, but ultimately reversed course. The general aviation community has been strenuously against privatizing ATC. But a lot of the folks over at the Air Traffic Controller Union right now is probably saying, well, we told you so. If we were privatized, yeah. we wouldn't be dealing with these kinds of issues. So it's an interesting I doubt it's going to have long-term political ramifications on that particular debate. Unless something dramatic happens. But you could see how this particular shutdown could alter the ATC privatization debate and create enough political energy to maybe privatize ATC in this country.
Jeff, your thoughts?
I think there could be a strong push for that. We saw it happen many years ago with the level one towers, which was the terminology used at the time, but the low-level air traffic control towers at airports that didn't experience a tremendous amount of operations. The FAA essentially said, okay, we're just going to pull our staff out and just not staff those towers anymore, which resulted in the creation of the contract tower program. So now the FAA provides funding for certain airports, about 250 of them in the United States, to hire their own air traffic controllers that are certified, that are employed by private companies. And I think this could bring that discussion back. One of the things that's pointed out frequently is Canada's air traffic control system, which is established somewhat similarly to their transportation security system, where it's primarily a privatized process, and it's private companies that are doing the work. And Canada already is pretty much installed with NextGen. As Clint was saying, I'm sure this will only slow those wheels down even more for what's a large change in air traffic control system. But Canada's often pointed to as, hey, they're kind of doing the same thing we're doing, and they're doing it better. Why don't we continue to take a look at that, and let's take this out of the hands and out of the realm or the reach of the federal government and their somewhat tenuous support of funding themselves.
Clint, if we've talked about the TSA workers and the air traffic controllers, but what about the pilots? Is there any impact on pilots because of this shutdown?
I don't know that there is a lot other than licensing and bringing new pilots online and that sort of thing maybe slowed down. Some of the testing and the like may well be slowed down. So I'm not sure. I would like to make one addition to
yeah.
what my colleagues have said here. They're absolutely right, but it's not just Canada. It's also Great Britain. It's Eurocontrol. I mean, the United States is the only major aviation network in the world that's run by a government agency, and the instability of year-to-year funding, the impact of shutdowns, these are serious problems that other countries manage to avoid because they all take a different approach than we do.
844 Wharton is the number if you would like to join in, 844-942-7866. Or if you'd like, send us a comment on Twitter at BizRadio132. We're talking about the partial government shutdown and the impact it could be having at our nation's airports. Roger W. Clark of the Clark Law Group and Rutgers University joining us on the phone, along with Dr. Clinton Oster of Indiana University, Jeffrey Price of Metropolitan State University in Denver, Colorado, joining us as well. I guess, Roger, the part to this that I think a lot of people within the industry would like to see happen, but probably won't because of where the focus is in Washington, D.C. right now, is they would love to see the letter that was sent to lawmakers and to President Trump actually have some teeth and actually have some impact in terms of getting this shutdown alleviated at this point because of the impacts that we've been talking about over the last 20 minutes.
It's a personal impact on the people who aren't getting paid and their families, and it's something that everybody can understand. The safety issues are there. Right now, we characterize those as an increase in the risk, and we can only hope that that increase in risk doesn't result in some type of tragedy that we will all regret for a very, very long time because of this political impasse. So these are very real issues. And from a business standpoint, you know, we were talking about the rollout of NextGen, I think some component of NextGen, which is called Datacom, which is the text link. Some elements of that were supposed to be rolled out this month, which will now not be rolled out, which is, again, another delay because of inconsistent government funding. But you look at issues from the standpoint of Delta. You know, they have their new Airbus A220 program, which is supposed to focus on business travelers. They intended to roll that program out at the end of this month. That rollout date may now be in jeopardy. Southwest Airlines is very anxious to get its route approval to start flying to Hawaii. That route approval is probably now going to be delayed. So you have these impacts on these companies that will definitely harm the revenue streams and potential for business growth, the hiring and training of new employees. So it definitely has a limiting and harmful effect on business growth in this country.
Yeah, and that's, Clinton, that's the part that we hadn't talked about, is not necessarily the airlines, but the aircraft makers and the manufacturers and the impact that they're feeling on this.
Well, that's right. And I think these impacts, there's the ones that Roger mentioned, the sort of what you might hopefully think of as only medium term impacts. I'd like to think they're even shorter. But there's also a general concern of the extent to which this is going to cause valuable, talented government employees to leave government service. And I know that in Washington today, there is a job fair aimed specifically at furloughed government employees with private sector firms trying to hire them away. And this just, you know, changes the balance in how you think about the different kinds of career opportunities. And so that is, again, a potential longer-term one. It'll be hard to put a finger on, but it could nevertheless have a lingering impact.
Jeff, final thoughts on what we need to see here in the short term?
I think what needs to happen in the short term is a bill needs to be passed just to get the government back in operation. Don't add anything to it. I know I'm living in fantasy land, but I just got back from a Disney cruise, so maybe I'm still there.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had been traveling on an airline in the last 2 weeks, Jeff, what did you see firsthand?
What I saw was low morale. And I was a screener back in the 1980s, right out of college. For a very short period of time, and it's a hard enough job. Those people have an extraordinarily difficult job, and I was talking to some of the screeners at the checkpoint in Houston as I was going through, and they're doing a good job, still doing a great job, just no lines. This particular time we went through, but I was just chatting with a couple of them, you could just see that there were other things on their minds.
Yeah.
And that's something else that is going to be difficult to measure. While we can say, hey, there's no lines, so the shutdown really hasn't affected TSA, what you can't really measure is their level of attentiveness and that ability to detect what they're supposed to detect, and that's deteriorating as we speak.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I have to end the conversation there. Roger, Clint, Jeff, all the best. Thank you, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Roger W. Clark from the Clark Law Group and Rutgers University, Clinton Oster from Indiana University, and Jeffrey Price at Metropolitan State University out in Denver, Colorado. That'll take care of the show for the day. We will be back with you on Monday. We'll continue our 2019 Look Ahead series as we're going to look at a variety of things. We mentioned Latin America and Brazil and some of the economic struggles going on down there. A look ahead at the year on taxes. And then also we're going to spend a little time potentially looking at the year ahead for real estate. All of that coming up on Monday's show, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, here on Sirius XM 132. Many thanks to Patty McMahon, Monique Nazareth, and Danielle Bruno on the other side of the glass, back in feeling great shape after having to step out yesterday. Thank you, Danielle. Great to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
We will see everybody on Monday, and enjoy your weekend, folks.